We are talking about the church as our family. And we've had two classes on this. Tonight we're going to study this third aspect of it. But just as very brief way of review, here's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the fact that the church is called different things. It can be called by different designations. One of the things that the Bible calls the church is a family, which places an emphasis on the relationships that we have inside the church. It's unlike any other organization. It's unlike anything else on the face of this earth, that when you're a part of the church, you are a part of the family of God, and you have relationships with God as your Father, Christ as your older brother, with fellow Christians. All of us are God's children, and every one of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. And inside the church, we have relationship with our elders, our spiritual shepherds, as it were, as they shepherd the flock. And so as you think about the church, you think about it as an institution where it's a kingdom that's made up of boundaries and of standards and has a structure and has laws. You can think about it as a body, as a society, as a grouping of people. The Bible also calls it a family. And are there some people in your family that you've got good relationships with and some people in your family that, well, the relationships aren't so good? Do you have people in your family like that? Apparently, I'm the only one. Okay, so I'm weird. Maybe we won't go down that road. I was thinking I might have something in common with you, that perhaps you had some people in your family that you just, you know, didn't always get along with. Matthew, you got anybody like that in your family? Say again. Oh, I shouldn't have brought it up. This is confession time. Matthew said Bill and I, Nell, are the ones that he struggles with. I'm sorry, I think that put you on the wrong side of the ledger to use a metaphor on purpose about your relationship there. Anybody got relationships like that? Or you got family members that when you think about the church as a family, yeah, I can have some positive thoughts about that. Yeah, I like the church being a family. But if you thought about the church being like some of the other people in your family, would that disturb you? To think, boy, I hope the church isn't like some of those people in my family. Otherwise, we got some problems. So inside the church as the family of God, do you get along with everybody? Do you have really good relationships with every single person? Or are there some people that, you might struggle a little bit with? In some ways, the church family is similar to our own families, isn't it? Why is that? Why is it that we have relationship issues, even in the church? We're humans. We're people. What does that mean? Come on, speak up. Why do people have different personalities? What's wrong with them? Why can't they all have the right personality? Hello? What's the deal? Because we're all different. Why did God do that? Why didn't, when we came up out of the baptistry, He washed away our sins, didn't He? At that very moment, He washed away our sins, added us to the church, wrote our name in the book of life. Could He not at that same moment given us all the same personality? Is there anything impossible for God? What'd you say now?
It'd be boring.
It'd be boring. Because whose personality would you get? Whose personality would you have to be like? You're still you. And yet in the family of God, we have these relationships. Here's where we ended last time, talking about the relationship that we have in Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 3, and I want us to continue in these last four verses of this chapter. As we look at the fact that these relationships that we have, we are all the family of God, and it starts by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, for you are all sons of God, and that comes by faith. That's where it starts. Now, how did you become sons of God? How did you become children of God? What does verse 27 say? For as many of you as were what? Baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. How are we all in the family? By faith and by birth. We're going to come back and talk about those two things again in just a moment. But I want us to see that the avenue by which each of us has entered into the family of God is exactly the same, by faith and by birth. Now, what does verse 28 say? What does verse 28 say about our relationships in the church? Tyrone, you got verse 28? You want to read it to everybody?
Sure. Verse 28, right?
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 28.
Okay. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
We are all the family of God. And what sorts of distinctions does that allow us to make? When we all enter into the family of God, does God still look down? Does God look at you as a Yankee Christian and somebody else as a Southerner Christian? Is that how God looks at you? Does God look at some of you as, smart Christians and other ones as, the ones who aren't so smart Christians? Is that the way He looks at us? Does God look at the have Christians and the have not Christians? When God looks down at us, Bible says that He sees us as one. And so this family that is made up of all of these different entities, we talked about the fact that God brings all of these different people. They're from different backgrounds. They have different thought patterns. They have different family issues that they're dealing with. They have different struggles, different temptations. They have all of these differences, and yet God takes all of these differences and He mashes them together and He puts them into the church. And God says, there's not a single one of us who's better than another. I don't need to think that I'm better than brother or sister so-and-so. Nor do I need to think I am less than brother or sister so-and-so. Amen. God looks down at us. And He says, in this family, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's bond nor free. There's male nor female. God looks at us and He sees value and He sees worth in every single one of us. Is that not the way we need to look at each other? Do you see value and worth in every Christian? Members of this congregation, we probably don't know all 450 plus members of this congregation. Do you see equal value in each and every one? Do you look at each other and do you see equal worth? That person has just as much right to be a Christian as I do. When God looks down, God sent His Son to shed His blood. Is the blood of Jesus meant for only a certain class of people? It's meant for every single one. So here we are as the family. Verse 26 says we're the family by faith. Verse 27 says we're the family by birth. Verse 28 says we are the family of God without distinction. Now here's where we stopped last week, is down in verse 29. And we said that there are two different avenues by which you get into a family. And it was a 12-year-old who helped me to learn after class that I guess there's actually three. Two different ways to get into a family. One is you're born into it. And I was thinking you're either born or you are, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the 12-year-old helped me to remember that you can also marry into a family. That's another way you get into a family. So I wasn't thinking about that one. That's a good one. Go figure, a 12-year-old could figure out that that's how somebody gets into a family. And that comes with its own blessings and not so blessings, doesn't it? But what's the other way? To become a member of a family, you're either born into that family or what? Don't say you marry into it. I already dismissed that one. You're either born into it or you are adopted. Now, as a Christian, which one were you? Were you born into the family of God Or were you adopted into the family of God? Come on now. Seriously? You were born and you were adopted. That makes you really mixed up and messed up, doesn't it? I mean, if you can't figure out whether you were born or whether you were adopted, and that you were both, we are in the family of God by way of adoption. The Bible uses this terminology, at least that specific term. It uses that reference a number of times, but about five times in the New Testament. Look at verse 29, Galatians 3 and verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. And if you're Abraham's seed, then you are what? Heirs. You are heirs. What's an heir? What's an H-E-I-R? The next in line. What's an heir? Somebody who inherits something. How did you become an heir? When you were baptized, Cornelius says. When you were baptized, verse 27 says, into Christ, you put on Christ. What does John chapter 3 tell us? Look in John chapter 3. And then we're going to come back to this idea in Galatians chapter 3. But go to John chapter 3. What does John 3 and verse 5 say? John 3 and verse 5. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you this again. Verse 3, he said, unless one is born anew, born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then what did he say in verse 5? Unless one is born. Does he say adopted there? Not talking about being adopted in John chapter 3. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But the Bible says, as a Christian, I have both been born and I have been adopted. What does it mean to be adopted? What does that mean? If somebody is adopted, what does that mean? They're added to the family. And if for those in here who are adopted, we're not trying to pick on you, nor are we trying to single you out or to say anything about you. But in a general observation, what does it mean when somebody is adopted? They're brought into the family? Do they become a... When somebody is adopted, are they a step-son, step-daughter? Are they a half-son, half-daughter? Are they a partial? Are they a sub-level? You go back to the first century. In the first century, adoption, it did not quite have the same... They didn't look at adoption. We don't look at adoption the same way they looked at adoption in the first century. First century, when a man went out to look for a child, for a son to adopt, he would deliberately choose the one who would perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. He was not looking necessarily for one upon whom he might show pity, although that sometimes involved an adoption. He went out for the sole purpose of finding someone who would perpetuate his name and to whom he could bequeath his estate. And God says, that's who you are. Did God adopt you because he felt sorry for you? Did God adopt you because, well, nobody else wants them, I guess I'll take them? Is that why God adopted you? Did God look at you and everybody else? You remember back in school? Y'all remember way back in school, like 4 hours ago? You remember back in school when you had the team captain selected and they would choose their teams, and I pick this and I pick him and I pick that and pick it. And you remember the kid who was always the last one left? Is that God saying, all right, I'll take you on. Nobody else wants you. I'll adopt you. Is that God? Or did God specifically adopt us to perpetuate His name and to inherit His estate? We are children of God by birth because we have obeyed that form of doctrine to which we were delivered, Romans 6 and verse 17. But we are also God's children by adoption. By God making that choice for us. But you go back to the Roman world, and I think this is still the case, maybe not as strongly. You go back to the Roman world, and when people talked about adoption, it was when people talked about, when parents talked about the adoption of a child, it was always past tense. They didn't say, this is my adopted daughter. They didn't say it in the present tense. They talked about it in the past tense. Why is that? Even the children would not say, I am adopted. They would say, I was adopted. What's the difference? It is over and done. Past tense. I was adopted. Well, what am I now? If I was, then I'm not adopted anymore? Is that what that means? So I was, but now I'm not. Well, if I what? It's over and done. And I am a part of this family. Not a subclass. Not second class. I am a full-fledged member of this family. God says, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, I am that way because I belong to Christ. Those of you, He says, who are Christ's, those are the ones who belong unto Him. We are heirs because we belong unto Christ. This slide should not be in here. Where'd that slide come from? Well, that's weird. I lost like 4 slides. That's cool. Y'all get a short class. Go to Romans chapter 8. I totally lost Romans chapter 8 up here. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. What does it say? Romans 8, 14. Matthew, you got it? What are we? Romans 8, 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Keep going.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Keep going.
The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together.
Okay. How are we sons of God? The Spirit of God bears witness that we are sons of God. How does the Spirit of God do that? How are we children of God? As many as are led by the Spirit, verse 14. Verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. How does the Spirit do that? What did the Holy Spirit give unto us? Why am I holding this mic up? What did the Holy Spirit give unto us that we're holding in our hands? That's an easy question. That one was simple. What did the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit moved us. He spoke unto us as the men were moved by the Holy Spirit. We've got the Word of God in our hands. Are you led by this book? If you're led by this book, then you're led by the Spirit of God. If you obey what this book says, what does that make you? It makes you a son of God. It makes you a child of God, verse 14. So verse 16, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Here's my spirit. Am I a child of God? Well, let me ask the Spirit of God. Am I a child of God? If I have done what this book says to do, and it matches, I am a child of God. And what does that make me? It makes me, verse 17, an heir. An heir with who? Verse 17. An heir, joint heir with Christ. joint heir with Christ. What does that word joint mean to you in this context? What does that word joint mean to you? Anybody have a different word? Fellow. You are a fellow heir. You know, Paul used that word a lot. Paul used that word when he talked about individuals being fellow laborers. Did that indicate that one person was more of a laborer than another? Paul used that word when he talked about fellow prisoners. Both were prisoners. Paul used that word when he talked about being fellow servants. Interesting that the Holy Spirit chose to use it here to call us fellow heirs with Christ. Do I deserve to inherit the same dwelling place as the Son of God? Do I deserve that? Son of God. I am an heir of that same promise. Go to the book of Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, those who are in Christ, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be without blame." I want you to notice the things He said so far. We are blessed. Those who are in Christ, we're blessed. Number 2, we are chosen in verse 4. Number 3, we are holy in verse 4. Number 4, we are without blame. We are loved, the end of verse 4. Verse 5, having predestined us to what? Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. How am I blessed? How am I holy? How am I without blame and without blemish? How am I chosen? How am I loved? Because I have been adopted in Christ by His blood. Verse 7, look down to verse 11, where it says that there we have obtained an inheritance. The end of the verse says, according to His will. What do I deserve? As a human being, what do I deserve? And yet, whatever the answer is to that question, what has God promised me? I get to go to heaven. I get to go to the same place that Jesus is. Do I deserve that? No, but God adopted me. And He adopted me past tense. It's done. It's over with. Now I am in Christ. I am a part of the family. How did I get there? By faith, by birth, by adoption. I'm a part of that family. We don't have time to look at this point, but I'll show it to you real quick. If you read the book of Galatians, it shows us our entire purpose. 41 times you read about our purpose in the book of Galatians, and it's all wrapped up in Christ. Does your family, your physical family, the family that lives in your house, do you have a purpose statement? I heard a lecture a few years ago about writing a purpose statement for your family. Writing a purpose statement? What do you mean, purpose? Do you have a purpose statement for your family that lives in your house? What's the purpose of that family? Don't tell me to wash the dishes and to do the laundry and to take out the garbage. What is the purpose statement for your family? Don't tell me to procreate. Don't tell me to go to the movies. Don't tell me to make it through the day and not kill each other. What is the purpose statement for your family? Is the purpose statement for your family, physical family, is it any different than the purpose statement for your church family? What's the purpose statement for our church family? Read the book of Galatians. You can read the entire Bible. But in the book of Galatians, it's interesting over and over. It's all about Christ. Been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's all about Christ. Is that the purpose statement for our families? when we come into this larger family of which we are a part, and we have all of these different pieces that we put together, we have all of these different backgrounds, all of these different ideas, all of these different thought patterns, and we bring all of these pieces together, and we put them all together, and what is it that we are trying to do? To serve Christ. That's it. You boil it down, and that's about as simple as we can make it. We're here to serve Christ. We are here as a part of this family. And as a part of this church family, we all got into this family in the very same way. If we all got in the same way, what does that make us? What does that make us? If we all entered the church in the very same way, what does that make? What if when you came to this, some people call this a church, it's a building. What if when you came to this building that not everybody entered the same way? What if everybody came through the main doors except for Mr. Special? And Mr. Special, he wasn't going to come through the common doors. That's where everybody else comes in. Mr. Special is going to have his own special parking space way away from the special people. It's going to be right outside the door. Mr. Special's not going to come in with everybody else. He's going to have a special parking space. He's going to have a special entrance. He's the only one who gets to come in that special door. He's going to have a special seat. Nobody else can sit on that special seat. Yeah, everybody else can sit in the common seats, but Mr. Special has a special parking space, a special door to come through, a special seat to sit in. When God looks down at the church, does He see anybody that's a Mr. Special? Well, sure He does. But it's all of us. Everybody, well, except for the Mrs. Specials, everybody's a Mr. Special. When God looks down, everybody enters into His family in the exact same way. How do we do that? We do it by faith. We do it by birth. We've talked about these, that we are baptized. We are born again through obedience to His will. Now, once you get into the family, do you need to stay in the family? How does somebody stay in the family of God? Look in Hebrews chapter 3. How does somebody stay in the family of God? Look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Lawrence, you going there? All right. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6.
But Christ has a son over His own house, whose house we go, whose house we are. If we hold fast that confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, then to the end.
Firm to the end.
Okay. Firm to the end.
Christ is the son over His house, His family. We are that family. We are that house. What's the word you have next? Christ is over His house. We are that house. We are that family. What's the word you have after that? It's a little one. You might not see it. We are that house. Whose house we are. Maybe that's what your translation says. Whose house we are, comma. Little word. Two letters. If. We are the family of God if. If what? If we hold fast to this. Does that mean that it is possible that once I enter into the family, that if I do not hold fast to this book, that I am not going to stay in the family? That's what that little word if means. God wouldn't put that little word if there if that's not what He meant. Whose house, whose family we are if we hold fast. What if we don't hold fast? Then the reverse is also true. We are not, individually or collectively, the family of God. If you were having a family reunion, physical family reunion, and everybody got there, everybody was enjoying their time together, but you looked around and you realized, you know, brother so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, aunt so-and-so, cousin whoever is not here. Wonder what happened to them. You know, I kind of expected to see them here. There'd be some of us who wouldn't give it a second thought. Well, that's their problem. They're missing out. And we wouldn't bother at all. There might be some of us who would actually pick up the phone and say, hey, didn't you know we were having a... Where are you? You need to be over here. We might notice if there's a family member missing. Do we ever notice if there are family members missing in our church family? If there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are not holding fast to the confidence, not holding fast to God's pattern, if they are not holding fast, what does that mean? They have strayed away from the family. Should we have the attitude that says, well, we're stronger without them? Is that our attitude? Or do we miss them? Or do we recognize that they are lonely, that they are lost without the family of God? We are a church family. We are a family that is made up of those who are adopted by birth. We all enter into this family the same way, and we've got to faithfully continue. Now, let me quickly give you four. I want to have time to do this. In the family of God, we need to want everyone to be in the family. We need to want everyone. We need to want outsiders to be in the family. We need to want insiders to be in the family. Those who are in the family of God and they fall away, they stray away, we need to want them back in the family. We need to want little children in the family. What did Jesus say about those little children that people were bringing to him? That the apostles saw as a bother. To the apostles saw as, get them out of the way. We have more important things to do. What did Jesus say? Of such, these little children, of such is what? The kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? What's another name? What's another word for the word kingdom? Church. What's another word for the word church? Family. Here's little children. Of such are the family of God. Should we want the little children? We should want everyone to be a part of the family of God. Number two, family of God needs to give each person a sense of belonging. This is the word that Joe mentioned a little bit ago. Sense of belonging. I was not raised in a family where there was anyone who was adopted. At least I don't think so. I think we were all, well, let's see now. I am the only blonde and I am the only boy. Okay, never mind. I'll put that out of my head. Those who are born into a family, they have a sense of belonging. I belong here. This is my mom, this is my dad, these are my brothers and sisters. Somebody who is then adopted into that family does not automatically have that sense of I belong. Because I'm different. They know all the inside jokes. They all look the same. They all act the same. They all talk the same. And I'm the weird one here. I stand out. Those of us in the family of God, we ought to give each member the sense of belonging. Those who are coming from the outside into the family, they don't have that sense of belonging. And it is the responsibility of those in the family to make sure they get it. Even those little ones who grow up in the church, sometimes, oftentimes, do not have that sense of belonging. Well, their parents, their parents will bring them to church and they'll figure things out and they'll grow up and they'll do right. And we just assume that everything's going just great. And we take them for granted. Those who grow up in the church need to be given a true sense of belonging. Not just that they are junior Christians. Not that they are the church of the future. Not that one day you'll be of use to God. That right now, you belong as much to this family as anybody else. And let me give you two aspects of that and we're going to stop. No, I'm going to give you these two aspects on Sunday because I don't want to rush through these two things. The bell's going to ring. We belong to God. We belong to His family. We belong to His church. Do we want... Ask yourself this question. Do you want everybody to be a part of this family? Are there some people in your physical family you'd rather not have in your physical family? You say, well, you know, we'd have a much better family reunion if, you know, so-and-so wouldn't show up. Do you want everyone in this family? Number two, are we giving each other a true sense that we not just belong, but that we equally belong in God's family? We're going to pick up here on Sunday and finish this. We're going to get to an aspect of this class that's going to be extremely practical and is going to be talking about an aspect of this church that all of us need to grab a hold of and be a part of. So stick with this. I hope this has been beneficial to us in a general sense, but we are going to get very specific as we go through this. Thank you all. See you Sunday.